Hebrews chapter 13, if you will. Hebrews chapter 13. And I got to thinking this morning, the preacher said I could preach the same message I preached at the 8:30 crowd, and then I could preach it here because it'd be a different crowd, but there's some folks here that were here at 8:30. So I thought it would be unfair for them to hear the same message over again. But I'll interject some of the morning message into this one, all right, so you can get a repeat on that. But Hebrews chapter 13. Now, I mentioned this morning, now at 8:30, we had lights at 8:30, but just prior to that, we didn't have any lights, we didn't have any water. And I came totally unprepared. I took a handy white bath and quickly came over the church. I didn't even know about the 8:30 service, and the preacher says, "Yeah, we got 8:30 service." I said, "Oh, really? Okay." That was at 8 o'clock, and so very quickly I prepared for the 8:30 service. But I'm glad you're here for now, amen. But my purpose as an evangelist, and any evangelist will tell you this or should tell you this, is to make you uncomfortable, and you're too comfortable right now, so you have to stand. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 13, I promise I'll just read a very short verse here, and then you can be seated again. Verse 8, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. Thank you for those that have come out. I just pray that you'd take this old preacher and use him for your honor and glory. We ask that you'd fill me with the fullness, the boldness, the power, and the love of God. And I pray that as your word goes forth, it'll penetrate hearts and decisions will be made for the honor and glory of Christ. Lord, it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice in this verse, it starts out, Jesus Christ. When we think of Jesus Christ, we've got to, the key to understanding the Bible is taking the whole Bible. Now, I understand the Bible is made up of 66 different books, but they all fit together. So we have one book made up of 66 different books. But it all fits together so beautifully. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." So as we get into the Old Testament, and as our dear brother did in Sunday school, we find Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 22 as well as the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the same God that introduced himself to Moses as I am. Moses was a little bit shaky about how he would go back and deliver the children of Israel. And he says, "Who am I going to send, or who am I going to say sent me?" And God says, "You tell them that I am sent you. I am that I am." Well, in John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said to the Jews that were there that were arguing with him, "Before Abraham was, I am." They recognized what he was saying. They understood exactly what he was saying, that he was saying that he was the God of the Old Testament as well as the God of the New Testament. And they wanted to stone him there. But folks, I want you to understand that he is God of God. He is the Christ, and he could not be stoned at that time. He had to go to the cross. He called himself, "I am," many times. John 6:48, "I am the bread of life." John 10 and verse 9, "I am the door." John 10 and verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." John 11 and verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way." John 14 verse 6, "I am the truth." John 14 verse 6, "I am the life." John 15 verses 1 and 5, "I am the vine." John the Baptist was asked if he was the Christ, and he says, "I am not the Christ." So the Jews were looking for the Christ. They were looking for their Messiah. And in John chapter 4, it wasn't to the Jews that he said this, it was to a Samaritan woman. She said, "We know that when the Christ or the Messiah comes, that he will tell us all things. And he stood there before her and says, I am the one that stands before you. I am the Christ. Folks, I am. That I am is the same I am in the New Testament, the same I am of the Old Testament. And that I am never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Matter of fact, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. I've been around for a long time. Now, I'm a very young person. I look older than I am. I'm only 29, and I know you believe that, amen. But the fact of the matter is, I've been around for a few years, and I've had a lot of people disappoint me. I really thought that there are some people along the way that I could trust, and there are some people along the way that would always be with me, always be there, but they change. People change. I remember going to Bible school with a fella, and man, I thought this guy is going to be something for God. I really thought he'd be the same years later. I remember when I surrendered to be an evangelist, I gave him a call. He's pastoring down in Florida, and I said, boy, it'd be nice to go down to Florida during the winter months and preach down there. So I gave him a call, and he said, brother, I got to tell you something. I'd be happy to have you, but I've done some things differently. I've changed. Don't preach from the King James anymore. We don't have those old hymnals and church anymore. Matter of fact, I don't even wear a tie anymore. I wear khaki shorts while I preach. What? This is not the guy I went to Bible school with. He changed. I'm glad I got somebody that doesn't change. I'm glad that I've found someone that's the same yesterday, and he'll be the same today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. He doesn't change. Boy, I tell you what, this is exciting stuff if you really get to thinking about it. But I want to take you on a trip through the Word of God for just a minute. I'll preach quick, and we'll be out of here before you know it. Before you blink an eye, we'll be out of here. But I'll preach quick, you listen quick, and we'll have a good time doing it. He's the same in three time zones. Yesterday, and today, and forever. Now think about this with me. Yesterday is eternity past. What was on his mind in eternity past? Think about this with me. We talked about this in the morning service, but what was on his mind in eternity past, over there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, it says that the determinate council got together, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they had one thing on their mind. You know what that was? That was the salvation of mankind. That was the salvation of humans like you and me. Listen, God the Father, even before the foundation of the earth, knew that man that God would create out of the dust of the earth, man whom God would stoop down and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, man that God created in his own image would fail and fall into sin. And Adam fell into sin. Listen, he was deceived, I understand that, but he still fell into sin. He was rebellious to God. He disobeyed God. And because of that, all of mankind has become sinners as a result of that. For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. We're all sinners because of what Adam did back there. But certainly don't point your finger at Adam, because you would have done the same thing. We're all sinners. And because we're sinners, God had to come up with a plan of salvation. The determinate council, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit met together. And they devised a plan to redeem mankind. And that was to send Jesus in the form of a man to walk this earthly sod. And as a man, he would be sinless. And he would go to the cross of Calvary, not just die on the cross of Calvary, but shed his blood for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. He'd be buried, and 3 days later he'd come forth from the grave alive, victorious over death and hell. He'd ascend to the right hand of the Father. Folks, I want you to understand now, Jesus has his arm extended to you and says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He wants to save you today. You're here lost without Christ. You need Jesus because you're lost in your sin. What did he have on his mind yesterday? Salvation. Look, if you will, hold your finger there in Hebrews. We may come back to that. It's doubtful, but we may. 1 Peter chapter 1, a few pages over. 1 Peter chapter 1, look down here if you will, in verses 18 through 20. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You can't buy your salvation. You can't be good enough. It ain't going to work. Look at verse 20, or verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. How are you redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ. Of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world by the determinate counsel that got together, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This is what was on his mind in eternity past, salvation. Jesus Christ was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. Clear back then. Can you imagine such a thing? I don't know about you. The preacher mentioned it, the missionary mentioned it during the Sunday school time. He didn't understand salvation because why would God want to save an old rotten sinner like me? Listen, that's true. Why would God want to save somebody like me? Now, if you're looking in the mirror and say, wow, I'm worthy of this, man, you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong side. Folks, we're not worthy of God's grace. We're certainly not worthy of his mercy and love. But God loved us enough, and he started thinking about us clear back there before the foundation of the world. And then, you know, after he devised a plan of salvation, Jesus Christ stepped out and created. He took nothing and made something out of it. He took nothing and made this earth. He took nothing and threw the stars. Oh, by the way, I made the stars, it says in Genesis 1 and verse 16. But he stooped down and made man out of that dust that he had made out of nothing, and he made us. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. We were made in the image of God. And I want to tell you something. We've disappointed God from the very beginning. Fallen into sin, and we've disappointed him every day since then. Man has been a disappointment in the eyes of God. Why? Because we're sinners. We're sinners. And until that day that we repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll continue to be sinners, and we'll continue to be a disappointment. Folks, what was on his mind yesterday? Salvation. Number two, I want you to think about today. Now, that's right now, today. So what's on his mind right now? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Look over here, if you will, in 2 Corinthians, and I'll show you what's on his mind today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice what it says down here in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee or helped thee. Behold, now, see that word now? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, we're in the second time zone now. What's on Jesus' mind today, right now? Salvation. What was on his mind yesterday? What was on his mind in eternity past? Salvation. What's on his? You didn't know you were going to get into a test, did you? What's on his mind today? Salvation. That's what's on his mind. Listen, that's first and foremost on his mind. Salvation. He wants to see you saved. That's his concern. That's what's on his mind. That's what he wants us to be. That's what he wants us to do, is to go out and tell people about Jesus and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's now. Look, if you will, here in 2 Peter. Let's find out about this a little bit farther. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look down here in verse 9, if you will. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Now, what are they talking about, that slack? Well, they're looking for his return. They want him to come back. Why is he not coming back? What's keeping him from coming back? Well, in verse 15, it says the long-suffering of God is salvation. But I want you to notice here, he gives us a very direct answer. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. I praise God that God is a long-suffering God. I pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'd like to see the Lord Jesus come. I'd like to see the Lord Jesus come today and snatch us out of this old stinky world. We wouldn't be concerned about the election if we got raptured out today. I wouldn't be worried about it at all anymore. That's behind me. I don't care anymore. But the fact of the matter is that we've got to continue to live here until we are snatched out of this world. Why is God keeping back? Why is he not coming back? Why didn't he come back and snatch us out of here? Why didn't the tribulation start already? We think he's slack in his promises? No, he's not slack in his promises. He's long-suffering to usward. And notice the rest of the verse. Not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Verse 15 goes on down here. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Listen, he's concerned with the salvation of souls. He's concerned about your family being saved. He's concerned about your mom and dad being saved, your grandma and grandpa being saved. He's concerned about your neighbors and friends. He's concerned about your co-workers. He's concerned with those that you rub shoulders with on a daily basis. He's concerned about them. And I'm sure if you look around this church, you'll find some gospel tracts someplace, and you could pick up a dozen of those and take them with you. And every time you go shopping, you could give this to somebody that helps you out in the aisle, or somebody that checks you out, or you can give it to somebody that you pay for your gasoline, whatever it may be. Hand out those gospel tracts. Talk to your friends and neighbors about Jesus. Listen, that's God's concern right now. Jesus Christ was thinking about salvation yesterday. What's he thinking about today? Right now, salvation. You're here without Christ. You don't have to leave here lost. You can come to Jesus and Jesus will save you. He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to leave here lost. Come to Jesus. What was on his mind yesterday? Salvation. What's on his mind right now? Salvation. So what's going to be on his mind in the future? Wow, you guys are good. I can quit right now. I don't have to preach on, do I? You're right. Salvation. Do you realize that some people have this idea that when we're raptured out of here, the Christians are gone, that God won't be concerned about salvation in the tribulation period? All he's going to do is judge this world? Folks, I want to tell you something. In the tribulation period, he's just as concerned about salvation as he is right now. He never loses that concern. That's on his mind. Look, if you will, over here in Revelation. The book of Revelation. And go down here to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And go down here to, scroll your finger down to verse 13. We'll read a couple of verses here. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these who are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. These are they that have been saved out of the tribulation period. I want to tell you something, folks. When we're raptured out of this world, those of you that know the Lord as your Savior, listen, today could be the day that we hear the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful sound to hear, "Come up hither!" And we go up to meet the Lord in the air. My Bible says, and I'm sure yours does too, that when we see Him, we'll be like Him. Think of the multitudes of people that will go up to meet the Lord in the air. Those that have died before us that were saved are going to come out of those graves to meet the Lord in the air. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Won't that be an exciting time? Boy, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the rapture. What a glorious time that will be. And when we see Him, the Bible says we'll be like Him. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you something. We'll never have a backache again. We'll never have any pains again. And by the way, we'll never worry about death anymore, because the bands of death are broken at that time. But be with our Savior. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll be with our Savior forever and ever. Comfort one another with these words. I pray it's a comfort to you. You know, some people are scared and have fear at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's fear that comes into your mind and in your heart, then you need to get right with God. My Bible says, and so does yours, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, that there will be many that will be ashamed at His coming. They'll still go up, but they'll be ashamed. Why? Because they're living in sin. There's too many people that are living in sin. I don't want you to judge anybody, but you could look around, probably see some of empty pews where people used to sit, and now they're home watching TV. Where people used to be faithful to church, and now they're off doing something else. Maybe they're out camping this weekend, fishing, whatever it may be. The world has a way of luring us away. But I want to tell you something. If the Lord were to come back right now, they'd be ashamed at His coming. Now I want you to think about this. After we're raptured, the tribulation period will start here upon this earth. And that tribulation period will be an awful time here. Matter of fact, it'll be such a horrible time, it says in the Word of God, that there's never been a time like that. Never. Horrible things will happen upon this earth. But God is still concerned about the salvation of souls. He still wants to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 14, there's an angel sent forth to preach the gospel. He's so concerned, He sends an angel to preach the gospel. Folks, He's concerned about the souls of men, women, and children. Amen. Now I want to show you something. Look over here in chapter 9 of Revelation. Sadly, as in all ages, many will reject the message. They will turn their back upon the message. Here in Revelation chapter 9, down here in verses 20 and 21. "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not." You know, it's amazing to me. We remember horrible things happening. And I've heard people say, "Oh, God spared us, God spared us." But yet they're going down to the bar. "God spared us," but yet they're living a life of sin. "God spared us," and so on and so forth, but yet they recognize that God delivered them from judgment, but yet they're not willing to get right with God. They repented not. "Yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." Folks, the tribulation period, we see how degraded men have become in this day and age. And we see how they've given themselves over to debauchery and sexual perversion. It's not going to get better in the tribulation period. It'll get worse. And because they're so wrapped up in sin, they will refuse to repent and turn from their sin and to be saved. Look, if you will, back here in Luke. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 56, we find that the apostles, Jesus had gone into a certain village and they refused to help him out. They refused to give him any food or anything. And the disciples wanted to send down fire from heaven and destroy them. After all, isn't that the way it should be? We should be able to, send down fire from heaven and destroy these wicked, vile sinners. Man, boy, wouldn't it be, we could change America real fast if we could send fire from heaven and destroy Washington, D.C. We could send fire from heaven and destroy Albany. We could send fire from heaven and, destroy these wicked. No, that's not God's plan. Here's God's plan. Look at verse 56. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That was his purpose. Amen. That was his purpose way back yesterday. That's his purpose right now. And that's his purpose in the future. Yep. What was on his mind yesterday? Salvation. What's on his mind right now? Salvation. What's on his mind in the future? Salvation. You get an A. Because he's concerned for the salvation of souls. Look, if you will, one more verse, or actually, I'm lying to you, there's more than one verse, but look at 1 Timothy, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says down here in verse 3, we'll start reading here. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, his will, this is his will, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Folks, I'm a firm believer that you can never witness to the wrong person. Amen. I believe anybody can be saved. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for every man, woman, and child. He's the propitiation, or the mercy seat. That word propitiation takes us to the mercy seat, and he shows us mercy. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Whole world. Yesterday, he was thinking about salvation. Today, he's thinking about salvation. And tomorrow, he'll still be thinking about salvation. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. And forever. Our job is clear. If you're saved, you need to go and take that salvation message with you every place you go. You're here lost without Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. No doubts in my mind at all. Would you raise your hand high? I know I'm saved. Praise God for those hands. Thank you. You can put them down. You can put them down. Now be honest with me. I'm not here to drag you down an aisle. I'm not here to embarrass you in any way. That's not my purpose, but I sure like to pray for you. Is there anybody here? Just be honest now. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know. Anybody at all, raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? Anybody at all? Thank you for that hand back there. You can put it down. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Not sure I'm saved. Anybody? Lord, I just pray right now that you'll do a work in our midst. I ask, dear God, that you'll be with this one that raised their hand. I pray, dear God, that you would be with them, convict them, help them to come. Let someone show them from the Word of God how to be saved. Leave here with the joy of the Lord in their heart, knowing that they're saved on their way to heaven. I pray, dear God, for those that are saved, I pray that you'd convict them, Lord, about reaching people for Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd bless those missionaries that have given their lives to go to another country and preach the gospel. Please do a work this morning in this invitation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The piano's playing. The invitation's open. Step out and come. Now's the time to come. If you're truly born into the family of God, come pray for those lost folks you know. If you're lost without Christ, come let someone show you how to be saved. Now is the time. The piano's playing.
Now in his death my redemption I see, all because Jesus was dying for me.
Salvation continues to be on the mind of God and always will be.
Risen for me, risen for me.
Let's pray about what God would have us to do as far as missions are concerned. What's he want us to do? What's he want you to do personally, individually?
Now evermore from death's sting I am free, all because Jesus has risen for me. Living for me, living for me. Up in the skies he is living for me. Daily he's pleading and praying for me. All because Jesus is living for me. Coming for me, coming for me. One day to earth he is coming for me. Then with what joy his dear face I shall see. Oh, how I praise him, he's coming for me.
All right, thank you, Brother Cliff, for the message. Listen, if you're here and you're still doubting your salvation, come and see me right after the service here, all right? Missionaries, Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, missionaries, I think they're already back there. Brother Mann went back, should be at your display. Brother Ivan, if you'd go back with your wife and get your table there to display. Make sure you folks stop by and grab their prayer cards. They'll be speaking for us all week and hearing testimonies. It's going to be a great week, so I hope you'll be here and be faithful. Missionaries and those in the play, we have lunch here today before our practice, all right? So let's bow for prayer, and let's ask God's blessing on the rest of this day. Father in heaven, be ashamed for people to hear a message so clear on salvation and yet walk away without Christ as their Savior. And so we pray that those that may be doubting it would find a place of peace in their heart concerning their relationship with you. Christians, on the other hand, ought to be not concerned necessarily about their relationship. They ought to be concerned about their fellowship, living a godly and pure and holy and righteous life. So I pray you'd speak to our hearts as well. But this week primarily deals with what Brother Bennett mentioned today, salvation. Us getting the gospel out to the rest of the world. You died for all man. You desire that all men come to know you as their Savior. And while we know that not all men will, they still don't repent, as we read in Revelation, it is still our job to witness to all of them. And as Brother Cliff said, we can never witness to the wrong person. And we know those things. Help us to be faithful in sharing the gospel wherever we are. And help us to get involved, if we're not involved, in this whole concept of world evangelism. I pray that for the new converts, they would learn these truths. And for those of us that have been around a while and know them, I pray, God, that you would burden our heart, perhaps even to do more. Whatever it is, we pray that you'd have your way and your will in our hearts and lives as we are transformed by the preaching of the Word of God this week. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Make sure you go talk to the missionaries, get a prayer card and all those things. And the rest of us got other things to do.